Here we go. Here we go. A secret location. All those weeks, Joel would open. Oh, he doesn't open his mailbox. He doesn't.
He's opened it.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Why?
Well, the building that we normally come out of play.
Yeah.
Out of play. Someone tested positive. We're in a secret location.
Mm.
And I'm out of the goodness of my heart, I've come in
didn't
to
take
risk.
Didn't he take up the first chance he got to jump back in the host seat?
Oh,
to
did
risk.
He?
Snap it up.
I asked Joel.
I said, no, you take the reins, mate.
You take the reins, buddy. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. It's good to see you in the flesh, Dan.
Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to get out of the house.
It's great. And it's that time of year, isn't it, boys? I feel like we've got a beat. We're 3.5 weeks away from the end of the regular season. Then we march right into the finals. It's just a great time of year.
Well, I'm actually a bit filthy because as we look outside, we can see outside, it's about 24 degrees.
Yes.
Beautifully sunny. I should be in the you-know-whats right now, but you've dragged me out.
Well, tell you what.
Somebody has ignored all the rules about, although it must be.
Backyard job?
Well, a lot of exercise has taken, a lot of walking. You are as brown as a berry.
Yeah. He's never looked better, has he?
You've got a glow to you. I mean, it is only August.
Mm.
This is a disgraceful summer tan that you are. You've lost some weight. No one is ready for summer more than Sean Ormerod.
I'm ready to roll.
Mm. You are ready, aren't you? Mm.
Great time of the year, though.
Here's the problem. Did you hear Gladys today?
Mm.
I don't think we're getting out of this lockdown until November. I really don't.
So I've got a holiday booked for Queensland.
No.
Start of November.
Whoa, no. Touch and, yeah, I think you'd be, well, hang on, can you cross the border? No, I think that might be touch and go.
I want to be there Melbourne Cup Day.
Yeah, you've said this for a while. This is your dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Noosa Surf Club Cup Day.
Yeah, that's what I want to be. Oh. That's where I want to be. But drifting. Absolutely drifting.
I don't like your chances.
So made a backup booking far north New South Wales.
Yep.
Just in case.
Yeah, I like it.
Just in
case. That'll do.
I'm a little loose here to start. I haven't hosted in quite some time, so
he's rattled.
Forgive me here. Did we enjoy the end of the Olympics, or did we enjoy the Olympics ending?
I reckon it was done at the right amount of time.
I limped at the finish line, like a couple of Australian runners throughout the Olympics. But having said that, because going into it, I really wasn't that much looking forward to it. But it got me only after about, you know, 2 or 3 days, I really got sucked in. I think the lockdown obviously had a big part to play in that. And in terms of engagement from a punting point of view, it was huge for Sportsbet.
Really?
Certainly, yeah.
You killed the punters, or the punters killed you?
I don't know the actual killings and survivings, but
just turnover.
Turnover and number of people that got involved.
Again, combination of lockdown.
Yeah, perfect storm for punters.
And because we're in a secret location, I don't know if we have access to Bambies and the sound effects. So they might be put in. If they are, we can't hear them.
And likely too, Dan, unless things change, KO, for those who are asking, we're probably not going to be on KO.
Oh, you were out of KO.
Whilst we're in this
secret. So that's good hosting, Joel. That's why you should host. Yeah, no. Well, there's no cameras where we are. So if we are on KO, then it's a sliver Billy Baldwin situation, and we're recorded without our knowledge. One of the great movies, as Mr. Burns said, a delightful romp. What did we make of the Boomers winning bronze?
Yep.
We celebrating it like a goal. Mm. Andrew Gaze crying.
Mm.
Andrew Bogut being part of the call. I've got some things to say about that.
I bet you have, yeah.
What did we make of the whole thing? Because I know, Joel, I'm touching a nerve here.
Well, Nate, for me, I actually said to somebody, I said, what's with the Gazy tears? And and I really love Andrew Gaze. He's so good to speak to.
Oh, the qualifier.
Energy.
The qualifier.
Yeah, the qualifier.
The
but,
qualifier.
No. And the carry-on for the bronze as well.
Un-Australian.
But I don't.
Un-Australian.
I'm not a basketball type. And at 5'9.5", it's not never really been my game. So I actually thought there was a going over the top with it, personally.
Oh. See, here's the problem, Joel. Well, Sean, where do you stand on this before I put the foot down?
I'm in Joel's camp.
Oh,
it felt to me there was a not even a touch. It went way too far.
Yeah.
To carry on for winning bronze for mine.
Yeah,
but Australia, again, I'm not a big basketball.
Do you not
head.
Know the story? How many times we've fallen short? I think we're 0-4, 0-5 in bronze medal games.
So that means all we're doing is celebrating, not choking this time.
No, we're celebrating a victory over Slovenia. Really? Honestly?
Which we went at, we went off.
See, here's my problem. We celebrate a BMX person we've never heard of as if we know them and they're part of us. We celebrate an American.
The skateboarder.
Didn't he think the world of himself? Didn't he think the world
of himself? Is that a Bambi?
Keegan Palmer. Mate, dead set, born out of California, raised in California. Yeah, he spent some time in Australia, and I love when he said in his best Australian voice, look, Australia is where I, in a way, learned how to skate. Mate, he is as Australian as a Wendy's burger.
I'll tell you what he's done, though, and the skate parks are full. The skate parks are full. Just on that, though, on Keegan Palmer, why was he, like, I agree with you. He's an American as you can get, right? Yes. Born in America, sounds like an American.
Mate, he looked like the bloke. He looked like the caddy from Caddyshack.
Yeah, yes,
Danny.
He did. So why has he competed for Australia? Did he not think he'd make the American team?
Oh, I love that sort of cynicism. I don't know. I think he's genuinely does believe that he. You know, he did learn how to skate in Australia. He had a love affair with the Bondi skate park.
Is his mum Aussie as well?
Hey,
is his mum Aussie? Or they
well,
both?
I didn't know that before I started this. But my point is this. It's not about him. It's not about him, who does have a lot of look at me about him. But Logan Martin, lovely kid, seems like. But we don't know these people, but we celebrate gold as if we've earned it with them. These boomers, we have watched hours and hours and hours of games. Well, because you're not Australian. Right. And, mate, people have ridden with them in full campaigns in Rio. People watched every single game in London. The same thing. We have devoted hours to this. Yeah. So to go this long and then to get this result. The Andrew Bogut story was fascinating. Fascinating. Why would Channel 7 only sign him for 5 games? I suspect there was a miscalculation because Australia were always going to make the semi-final, which meant they were always going to play either a gold medal or a bronze medal, which means they were going to play 6 games. Why would you sign him for 5? I'm going to guess that whoever signed the deal did it on the thinking that he'd probably miss one of the unimportant group games against Iran or Germany. Well, they used him for that. So that's a miscalculation on 7's part. And then their signing of him on the day, I think, had more to do with the social media backlash, this bothers me about corporations is that they react to social media. I've had an employer, I've said something on air, no reaction. I've tweeted exactly the same thing, got asked to take it down. We don't want social media backlash.
So you've said it on air, no one's complained about it.
Yep.
Yeah, you do.
I'll tell
see
you, it was when Dead Set Legends got punted. I said it and then I tweeted it. And then it got picked up by a couple of newspapers, the Herald and the Telly. And then I got the response, oh, Dan, please be careful with what you tweet. I said, I just tweeted exactly what I said on air.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd prefer it if you took it down. Anyway, sorry, that's just me getting
tweet, I suppose, is more embedded, isn't it? Like when you say it on air, it's gone.
But did we find Bogut putting out a press release?
This
is where I know you want to go. This is your Bambi.
That was, like, I agree with you on the contract, right? The contract should have just been, Andrew, we're going to sign you to call all of the Australian games. That may end sooner, that may go later, but if it's going later, I'm assuming you're going to be
happy
with part of it.
He would have been on good money. So I can imagine them limiting it to a certain amount, because I imagine the number would have been quite hefty for him. But it... Yes. How we even got to this situation.
Or you say 3 prelim games and all the finals, whatever it is.
Yeah, okay.
But the announcement on social media, which went along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, hi, guys, it's been a great ride. Unfortunately, that's it for me. I've only signed for X amount of games. And I felt like saying, mate, just jump in the seat for nothing if you have to. Like, honestly,
Would anyone have known?
Of course not. Of course not.
That he wasn't calling that game before the tip off.
No.
So there was no backlash before.
The only objective to that tweet was to create backlash.
Yes.
So it was mission accomplished.
Yep.
But I thought, geez, for a guy who's made $100 million out of the game, that's a pretty good standing. I've always liked Bogut. I think he's one of the most honest athletes we have. I thought, geez, that's beneath you. That is so beneath you to do that.
Yeah.
But I suppose mission accomplished.
For example.
He's a pretty good commentator too.
In the rugby league, right, if Steve Crawley, for example, come to you, Dan, and he said, Dan, our contract.
Wonderful man. I'll never say a bad word about him. Wonderful man.
Yeah, I agree. He comes to you and he says, Dan, look, we'd only allocated for you to call 30 games for the year or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
And that's actually our budget. However, we'd love you to call the grand final. Would you do it for nothing? Of course you would.
I don't know. Yes, I see the point you're making. Yeah. I see the point you're making. But anyway, I thought, no. Hang on. Did I hear you question Andrew Gaze? Oh, those tears were genuine, my friend. There were plenty of fake tears on the Channel 7 broadcast over two weeks. Mm. They weren't fake.
There was a bruising?
A bruising, yes.
It's in the family of bruising. It's a cousin of bruising.
No one has, there was a lot, no one has sweated more for Australia than that bloke.
And fantastic. But again, there was a lot of carry on after that game in studio with Gazy and those tears. And I know you said it made great television. Bit cringy for me.
Yeah, I lean Sean's way, to be honest.
You blokes have become so cynical.
So have you actually had a Bambi yet, or are you just getting started?
No, I just laid that out for you. I tell you what, this is not a Bambi. I've never met this lady, but I never want to get on the wrong side of Annette Sharp, the columnist. Oh, yeah. Did you see what she did to Hamish? It made even me feel sorry for Hamish McLaughlin. Absolutely torched him. I think Annette might have a love affair, metaphorical, with Abby Gelmy.
Right.
So I think it's very obvious those two, Gelmy and McLaughlin, do not like each other.
Oh, really?
Come on. Mate, it was colder than ice between the pair. Gelmy and McLaughlin, clearly Annette picked her side, but it was just I thought, wow, I respect that.
He's speculating that they don't get on.
It's pretty obvious.
So I didn't find it obvious. I just think they're both very woody, that there's not a lot of...
Yeah.
Who was the best presenter of the games?
Not caller.
Caller's Bruce, right? We don't even have to argue.
Yeah.
Matty Hill did it. Yeah, I know, mate. But he could call a shopping list, and you'd say he's the best in the world to do it.
The only thing I wish had it happened is in the rowing finals. If at some stage in the call, because he's yet to go through a Melbourne Cup without doing this, which is fair enough. Because it buys you time, and it's back down by Chiquita Lodge. I needed him to say Chiquita Lodge in the rowing
that's
finals.
That's an important part of the race.
Yeah, I want to go back to the last time there was a Melbourne Cup without somebody saying down by Chiquita Lodge.
Okay.
Who called most of the field events?
Dave Culbert.
I found him very good.
Very good.
Because he added a bit of personality to it without going overboard.
Did you find Bruce more opinionated and more self-referential than he's ever been?
Yep.
I thought so too. Mm. But he's earned that right. There are very few that have earned that right to actually, I think, just completely spill their own opinions on a sport. Every race, I think this is good for him. I think this is... He not only could get away with it, he actually enhances the call by doing it, but there's only a very few that could do it. And Richie Benno, not that he did do it, but he had that gravitas to do it.
Where Dan's got... The golden rule as a caller...
You never give your own opinion.
That's the expert's role. Is that where you're going,
Dan? Yeah. But I just found it was an interesting development for Bruce... to really inject his own opinion.
Yeah.
But it's an opinion that's been earned through 40, 50 years of calling track and field. No one can read a race like he can. But I just found that an interesting move from him.
Who was your number one
Can I say my
Olympian?
My number one presenter? Cause
oh, yes.
I'm going to pick someone who I know knows very little about sport.
Oh.
Because I've spoken to her about this. Edwina Bartholomew, I thought, was a fantastic presenter.
Really?
In the afternoon, so I didn't watch much of the mornings because, as you know, I'm not a night owl. Oh, I'm a night owl, I'm not a morning person. I thought she was the best presenter, and she knows SFA about sport. She might know more now, but when I spoke to her the last Olympics and congratulated her, she said, yeah, it's pretty good for someone who knows nothing about sport.
But you know what? Maybe that's an advantage.
I was going to say.
You're not overplaying your hand.
Because you're just being a broadcaster.
Linking things, you're broadcasting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Caitlin Shea is the producer of the Australian story, Luke Longley.
Oh, right. I have that here that I was going to mention how
and
good that was.
Caitlin knows, and she says it still, knows nothing about basketball, knows nothing about sport. But as you say, you don't get lost in all the 1%ers that, you know, maybe people know a lot about.
Little Bambi, maybe, for Caitlin Shea.
Oh.
She was very heavy on the referencing Michael Jordan as MJ.
Oh, right.
Now, I don't know. Now, you've done a documentary. You've produced a
documentary. Hang on, did she do it within the documentary or did she?
No, on a certain radio show that I tune into between 3 and 5, 3 and 6 p.m.
MJ got a run, but that's all she knows him as. She doesn't know him as.
Well. Now, we saw this Australian story.
Yeah.
It was outstanding.
Very good.
Outstanding. Michael Jordan, Sean, was genuine with his last thing at the end?
No, so we touched on this on the same radio show. I don't think he was. I think he knew exactly, because no one else in the world's going to see it apart from Australians.
Exactly.
For obvious reasons.
Exactly.
He knew the audience. And I said it to you last night, Shug, that there's the old phrase, never meet your heroes. There's a lot of that at play because
he'd be an average bloke.
He's an average bloke.
Didn't you say when he walked into that room, you're not allowed to. Oh, you're not supposed to shoot me walking in.
Did he say that?
Go back to ABC iView, and I'm sure he said that. But you know the whole thing. Oh, if there's a team, if I did it all again, I wouldn't have Luke Longley. Yes, you would. But I love how
they didn't. But
what
they didn't
a champion
answer the,
Luke is, by the way. What a champion bloke he seems to be.
He didn't answer the key question was why wasn't Longley a part of the Last Dance.
Yeah.
That's all anyone wants to know.
Their excuse is would have cost too much to send a crew to Perth, which is just rubbish.
Oh, please.
Rubbish. I mean, there are a couple of players in that Last Dance who are absolute, 11th and 12th men that had no right to be there. No right to be there. Well, had a right to be there, but certainly no more right than Luke Longley. No. Anyway, there's another doco. I might have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, called The Kings.
No.
Now, this is on ESPN. I think it's on KO now. ESPN's running it because I've seen ads for it. Might be this week. So it's a story about Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, the boxing.
Thomas Hearns, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Roberto Duran. Because these middleweights are all at the same era, the golden era of middleweight boxing. Fabulous. It's a 4-hour doco. I think they're cutting it into 2x2s at ESPN. I'm telling you, it's one of the better documents. I can't say best because not everything can be the best, but it's pretty up there. It's pretty bloody up there. So I would recommend that heavily. I think it's on KO now if you want to cheat the system and get in first. By the way, The Chase is 100 times better with Larry Emder as host. I told you. That's a good show waiting for a good host. Andrew O'Keefe was no good.
Oh, yeah.
Disingenuous.
Yep.
And slow.
He's with Denyer. I never bought into the Grant Denyer bus. No?
No. Certainly not.
But he's
both
a
had
good,
their issues.
He's a good knockabout, like you speak
By
of.
By the way.
Is he?
I've been to his house. How's that for a name drop?
Yeah, that's
because I was a plus one with a mate. And Dover Heights.
Wow.
One of the great homes.
Wow.
One of the great homes.
Wow.
Yeah. So
good on him.
You know, it's wonderful to be somewhere you go, I will never in my life be able to afford somewhere like this.
Just to humbleise ourselves. Any Bambis, Sean?
No. I've
got one.
Not really.
Yeah?
No.
You got one?
Hey, it's a big one.
Oh, yes.
It's a big one. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Netball has no place at the
Olympics. Oh, we've got the same one.
Netball is not an Olympic sport. Netball is, I'm sorry, it's a two-nation sport. Now, I know England play it. I know South Africa play it. There have been two world champions in 16 tournaments. Australia and New Zealand. Trinidad and Tobago were joint winners in some Mickey Mouse tournament in the 70s. But I'm sorry. Just because we're good at it and just because we get to pick a couple of sports doesn't mean netball. And you wait and see how this will become a sexist thing. It'll become if this was picked up, this comment, I'd be mansplaining.
No, but how can it be sexist? Like, the rules for Olympics is it's got to be accommodating to men and women. We're not really going to have
men's netball.
No, honestly, many men's netball competitions are running around in the world?
Yeah, not many. Is that a rule where the host gets to pick a couple?
They get to recommend. So okay. Japan recommended, I think, baseball and softball came back because they're huge sports over there. Rock climbing or sports climbing, I think they recommended that. So I dig 3x3 basketball, the first sport to go. France has got breakdancing in the next one. So you get to recommend, but the IOC has to rubber stamp it. And I saw Matt Carroll the other night from the AOC, and he explained that there is a limit of 10,000 athletes at any Olympics. So any new sport that comes in, how many athletes are required comes into it. Well, netball's going to require a lot. And I would put it to you, cricket would have a far bigger presence at an Olympics and is more justified at an Olympics, 2020 cricket, than netball, because you got India. That's the only reason you got in. India is a weakness for Olympics, for the IOC. And if they can create a new market with cricket, and even I don't think cricket should be there, but I'm saying cricket has a far more deserving position in a Brisbane Olympics.
You could put it in front of 15 sports that are now, sports in inverted commas, that are now part of it.
Cricket, gone. Netball, gone. Anything where there's basketball, gone. Anything where there's already a massive championship for. I mean, under 23 soccer, gone.
Mm.
Honestly.
That's the most valuable sport in an Olympics.
The soccer.
Yes, it is.
But the under 23
doesn't
soccer,
matter. It's
how ridiculous.
Eyeballs.
Is the Matildas under 23s?
The Matildas, we have the Socceroos and the Olleroos, but we call the Matildas, the senior national team, also the Matildas in the Olympics.
Right. So whatever they're called. Is it under 23s also?
In the Olympics?
Mm.
Well, I don't know.
No, Sam Kerr's more than 23, isn't she?
Yeah, but then there's a number of players you can have above age.
Gone. Soccer gone.
Yeah. Basketball at the Olympics is the pinnacle of the
international sport.
I agree.
It's bigger than the FIBA World Cup.
Okay, fair enough. It needs to be the premier thing. It's not the premier thing in golf.
No.
Surfing, no. It was great for us to get a bronze medal. No, it's not an Olympic sport.
Yeah, I don't mind golf, but it can't just be a normal stroke play event, because then it just becomes a tournament like every other. If it's some sort of teams event where Cam Smith and Mark Leishman are playing together.
There you go, now, for Australia. There you go.
Now we got something.
Yes, we have.
Now we got something. By the way, can we just have a minute silence and pray for the people of Byron Bay? I mean, who would have thought that anti-vaxxing hippie territory would fall prey to COVID? It's all those eastern suburbs people that have gone up there. You poor rich bastards. So let's just have a minute silence for the people. Do we have anyone at Byron Bay that listens to us? Because there are two Byron Bays.
Yeah.
There's the normal Byron Bay, which is actually a quite lovely, sleepy town. Mm. And then there's Wanker Byron Bay, which is taking over like fescue grass.
Yes.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking rugby league, because we got 8 games this weekend, and we got a couple of best bets as well. One of us went 6-2. I'm not saying who it was, but it wasn't Sean and it wasn't Joel.
Well done, onside.
We have to go. We can't get back to the present to fix the past and save the future. Let's go, having our boat day!
Hey! Ramo's anytime try scorer!
Yeah, got that! We just need the overs now!
Righto!
Don't miss Sportsbet's new Bet with Mates. Start your group, bet together, and share in the moment. Bet with Mates, new from Sportsbet.
And welcome to the betting portion of the Sportsbet podcast. Not on KO this week, unfortunately. We're in a secret location. Secret location. You got a nice workplace, Joel.
Thank you.
What did we learn from last weekend? What did we learn? Premiership betting hasn't changed all that much. Melbourne seemed to get stronger. They're $2.25. The common sense consensus seems to be Manly got more out of that game last week than Melbourne did.
Yep.
That Manly's credentials were strengthened by a narrow loss to Melbourne.
Scoreline probably, it was only 10 points, I think, the end result in that game. But that probably flattered the Storm. I think that Cameron Munster trial was very, very lucky. And then it was made up by 2 penalty goals, I think. So I didn't see anything from Manly that would certainly turn me off, you know, if you did like them to win the comp. They are single figures now, I think, into $9. So it's getting pretty skinny. Still no morals to finish top 4, although I think they will.
They're odds, amazingly, they lost. But their odds for top four went in from 275. Geez, I hope you got a piece of that last week, everybody. We mentioned it was good odds. They're now $2 to make the top four. They lost. Now, also, Roosters lost, but they were supposed to lose.
Everything went their way.
And, but Parramatta lost, and they were supposed to lose. So there wasn't an upset result amongst those three. Yet Manly's odds...
Roosters were pretty well backed, though. They were very well favoured in that game.
They didn't start as favourites.
No.
But they, had a lot of support.
Yep.
So premiership odds, 225 Melbourne, 375 Penrith, South 650, Manly $9, and then the big ones, Roosters 23, Parramatta 41, goodness. Canberra 67, Newcastle 67. Top four, are we locking in Manly? Or are we still got a candle for the Roosters who are...
240, I think they are. 250. I
mean, 240. 240, Parramatta 650.
Yeah. It's out of those two. Parramatta got no chance.
Well, as you said, Sean said 5 weeks ago, Parramatta were $1.30 to make the top four. I'll tell you what I learned out of last week, boys. Penrith can win the comp. Penrith can win the comp without Cleary.
Not sure if I said it on the podcast, but I had, and they weren't doubts about Matt Burton, speaking from a Bulldogs supporter's point of view. They weren't doubts, but there was just something that I wanted to see, because he hasn't played a lot of footy in the halves.
No.
He's been very good everywhere else. But, you know, it looks like they've signed him for a bargain now from what I saw on the weekend. But I still needed to see that real red-hot game, and shit, did I see it on the weekend.
You can't fluke that game. Nah. There's more of those to come.
Yep. What about the wheels? I thought he was so quick.
I thought the criticism was unwarranted. He'd been copping it for being a bit quiet.
So do I.
And Penrith have been short of their best players for quite some time. Cleary, obviously, but Fisher-Harris the last couple of weeks. The origin period, he was the only one. He was carrying them on his back. Now, they lost a couple during the origin period, but he was the standout. It was Tyrone May that did FA. It
says more about who was playing alongside him.
But why was Tyrone May? I still don't understand on this planet why he was ever in a starting halves position with Burton and Luai there.
Yeah, and that went on for how many weeks? It was only a couple of weeks, I think. But still.
Do you agree, though, boys? Can they win the comp? Like, on their day, clearly, but you get that win against the Roosters.
They can't beat Melbourne without Cleary. They cannot
beat
Melbourne.
I'm not sure about that. They did that without Toll. They did that without Fisher-Harris. It was a massive... They did it with Arpey. That was a massive win over the Roosters. Arguably their best of the year.
I got this observation about Munster. Either he's busted or he's cruising until the finals. Because I think he's holding back. I think he's holding back, and I think we're going to see his best in the finals.
Lewis about Munster. He's not your consistent player
100%.
Every week. 100%. And you occasionally get a cracker in a big game.
Yeah.
But in grand finals, he's never had a blinder. So I'm...
Oh, geez. Okay. He's
Has he had a blinder in a grand final?
He was good in the one they blew away North Queensland. Now, there was the one against the Roosters. All right. He went to the bin twice. He lost his head.
But saying you're a bit of a Wally Lewis is not a bad compliment. Is it?
Well, when you wrap it up in that, saying, oh, geez, when has he actually had a good game? Hasn't he been man of the match?
No, what I'm saying is, he's not a bloke who's ever going to pepper the Dally M's. He's not consistently collecting.
And this is the point I'm getting to. Yeah. I think he's holding back because he's being outshone by Jerome Hughes every week now. And I'm saying, wait till the finals, wait till the big games, and I think he's going to step it up and we're going to see the best of him. We're not even considering him at the moment.
His style of a game, though, it relies upon things going his way. You know, some players, they just play. Anyway, we're getting bogged down on this. We better get into some tips, Dan.
Okay, all right. Okay, I thought I was hosting, but clearly it's the tug of the hosting role. You can't let it go. Melbourne versus Canberra is our first game.
Yes.
This is Thursday night. This is on the Sunshine Coast. So Melbourne's, they win everywhere, so it's pointless calling it another home for them. $1.07, $9. Start 23.5. A lot of start. Canberra quietly have built four wins out of their last five. That loss to Newcastle stands out like a beacon, but they're just holding their own a little at the moment. They're still in the race for the top eight. Sean Ormerod.
I think their form probably got found out because they beat Parramatta, and that was kind of, the Raiders are back. But then we've sort of soon learned, or we learned quick enough.
Scrapped by the Dragons.
Yeah.
Really scrapped by reserve grade Dragons.
Yeah, we learned quick enough that the Para form line isn't anything to be sort of writing home about. And what about this, the Storm? They get Big Nelson back from injury. Yeah. Pappenhausen and Harry Grant still on the bench, finding some minutes. Like it really is. And we say it, you know, over and over again. It's just an embarrassment of riches. I don't really care how big this number is. On a dry track, have to be with Melbourne. Raiders, it's still a bit of a band-aid team that they're putting together. Rapping at fullback, etc. Storm.
It's a lot of start.
It is.
I've got Canberra because I think the start's too many. And I can see some of these top teams, Joel, just starting to take their foot off.
So can I.
Coming into the finals.
Canberra for me too, Dan. Just purely for the fact that everything Sean says is right. But they're just ready for finals now. They're just counting down the days on the calendar.
Had a big couple of weeks. Penrith, I know Penrith under strength, but big build-up.
Yep.
Manly, big build-up. Mm. I can just see them having a really bad game and winning 30-12.
Do you know what evocative means?
Yes.
Evocative is mean when you look at something, it reminds you of something, or you smell the bread or cakes.
It evokes
memories, yep. Right? Nelson scored a double last time against Canberra. Maybe it evokes him into a try. Dale Finucane's got a cheeky try-scoring record against Canberra as well.
Is he? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go to St George Illawarra versus Penrith. This is 6 o'clock. This is at Suncorp, so it's a doubleheader at Suncorp, but good to see they're not playing every game at Suncorp this week. Crowds are back, by the way. $6.50 the Dragons, $1.22 Penrith. 18.5 is the line. Cleary is in the 21. Pengai is in the 18. Now, Pengai, there was a personal tragedy there last week, so I don't know if he'll be available or if he'll be in the right headspace. I think they're going to rest Cleary. From what I read yesterday, it sounds like they know they're going to finish second or third. Burton can carry the load. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume he's not there, Sean, and I'm going to imagine 18.5 is a non-Cleary line. And I'm going to take the Dragons. Call me an idiot. Penrith, I think you're going to cruise to a comfortable less than 18 win.
This is the time of year where you can really get against sides that have almost put a line through the season. I think the Dragons are very much there. They're now without Tarek Sims, this one. Penrith get a couple back. Steve Crichton's back from suspension. And then you've got this huge upside of a Rolls-Royce potentially coming in, even if it's for half a game. And even if he's not there, you've still got Burton, who's just airborne. Another big minus for me.
No Fisher-Harris, Joel?
I was thinking about that, which would concern me in a semi-final. However, at the moment for Penrith, when there's no Fisher-Harris, there's blokes who are desperate to make their way into a 17 finals team. So
Eisenhuth, the front row.
Yeah. No, I don't love the fact that Fisher-Harris not playing, Toto not playing. But I think the Dragons are cooked.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go with Sean.
Okay. All right.
I've seen that back line that the Dragons have named. I mean, it's really...
Well, Lomax actually looked pretty good last week, I thought.
No, Ben Hunt's huge.
First game back for Lomax. I thought he might have been a bit rusty. I thought, well, he added something.
Did he?
If I was Jack Bird fullback, that was the turning point of the game when Jack Bird played at it, was never going to score.
Why was he fullback when Ramsey was there?
Yeah.
I thought that was Ducks and Drakes. I was surprised when he actually lined up there.
I don't like to bash up players, but Lomax for me is very much so overrated at this point in time from my perspective.
Well, he's as good an attacking weapon as they've got in that back line.
Well,
Brisbane, Brisbane Roosters. Sean, I think you got this line wrong here. $4.50, $1.20. Roosters only giving up 14.5. That's very skinny.
You're going that way?
Oh, I think Roosters will smash them.
Really?
Brisbane, I know Albert Keller comes back, and that really worries me because he's been very tidy in the top grade. He and Gamble, a nice combo. Yes, I know they thumped the Roosters at the SCG.
Well, that's when he debuted for the Broncos.
I understand that, but that's when Radley lost his mind. Pengai had a blinder. Pengai's gone. Yep. Radley's not going to lose his mind. I just can't see the Roosters doing it twice in a row against Brisbane.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually leaning the other way. It's obviously at Suncorp.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, no, I think it does a little bit because they have been they're a little bit of a different side there. And I think the one thing about Kevin Bolters is he can still sort of get the team up and about, all for a lack of maybe some other things. Albert Kelly was, from what we saw of him earlier in the year, actually create something in attack for them. So I think they've probably got a few more points. And then no Angus Crichton and Warrior Hargraves as well for the Roosters. Two huge outs.
Mm.
I can see the Broncos just turning up for this one. And it's big enough.
Off a big game to the Roosters. Yeah, look, I forgot about the Angus Crichton. Jared, I'll go the Broncos with you, mate. I'll go the Broncos.
Okay, I'm happy to go on my own here. We continue here. South Sydney and the Gold Coast. I can feel I'm going to be on my own here as well. $1.15 South, Gold Coast $5.50. The line is 17.5. I know Gold Coast didn't beat much, Joel, against North Queensland, but I was impressed. I like this kid, Toby Sexton. Mm. And it seems to make Ashley Taylor a little better as well. And while David Fifita is a $1 million player coming off the bench, that seems to work for them. I can see South being a bit off the pace here. I think they're ready, maybe not for a loss, but I think they're ready for an off day, and this might be it. A lot of start. Remember, Gold Coast led South 24-10 at halftime a few weeks ago. Now South overran them and ended up winning 40-30. 55.5 is the points. I can see that being smashed, but I like the Gold Coast here.
Looking for 10 in a row, the Bunnies. They're just cheekily flying through, and geez, they've really regressed the last 3 weeks, haven't they? 3 weeks ago, they scored 60. Week before that, a week prior, 50, 40. They've averaged 44 points a game the last 7 weeks. Mm. They're hot to trot. They are. But the problem is, we know they're going to play Penrith week one of the finals.
That's the problem.
They're playing them next week. That'll be intriguing how that gets played out. But South Sydney, I've got to stay with
them. I just can see Wayne Bennett thinking, there's no way this mob can win 17, 16 in a row, which is what, if they keep winning into the finals, they're going to have to win 16 in a row. I think he knows they don't have the mentality to be up for four straight months. Now, I'm not saying he's going to want to lose, but I can just see him winding it back for a couple of weeks. Mate, I can see him, the Penrith game, them getting smashed again, because he knows that means nothing. So South for you?
Tell me this.
No, you've talked me out of it, Dan.
No. I don't want to be responsible.
I'm going Titans.
How's this for a false economy? So they beat the Cowboys last week. And I don't think the Titans were that impressive last week at all. The first
Sean,
half.
You're just saying things to disagree with me now, mate.
No.
Everything I've said, you've absolutely hammered.
The first half, I don't have the stats in front of me, but it felt like the possession might have been 60-40 or potentially even more, and they couldn't really put them away. I know there was an intercept try or whatever. So that's the Cowboys they're taken care of. Week before that, they beat the Bulldogs. And the week before that, they beat the Dragons. And then Parramatta beat them.
So he's talked me out of it. Ash Taylor, I'm going the Bunnies.
All right. No, good. I want to be on my own. Yes. I want to be on the own. It's actually in my best bets, that bet. Yep.
Wow.
We go to, I think we'll just go straight through, hey? North Queensland West's Tigers.
We can go straight through this game if you want.
Well, you can't have Tigers as favourite, so Cowboys for me.
Have you looked at the Cowboys team?
I don't care.
I think Canterbury would beat that Cowboys team. I think Canterbury, honestly, could beat that team.
Yeah, well, that Canterbury honestly nearly beat that team, the Tigers, last week.
They lost by 12.
Corey Horsburgh. Well, he's not. You're getting me thinking about the book. Yeah,
they lost by 12.
Whoop-de-doo.
The line was 6.5.
No.
Is that the worst?
Why I went 6-2 and you didn't.
Is that the worst game of footy you've seen for the year?
Do you think I watched it? Do you think I was going to waste two hours of my life watching that?
We need Tommy Dearden to get this win.
What, did it come up again, did it?
No, Tommy Dearden, he's 22 now. 22 without victory start.
I don't even count anymore. I know I started it. Well, can someone tell him to stop running out of the line on his own?
Mm.
Like a suicide bomber?
That's what they do. That's what they do because they're petrified. Walker does it on the right-hand side. It's not compulsory to have your halves either side.
Mm.
In the finals, you're going to have Kickow, Olam, etc. running down at Walker. Why do they have Walker in the hardest spot to defend the Roosters? I don't understand that.
I tell you what I don't understand. Why did the Tigers agree to this documentary?
Oh.
It's not serving them. It is fabulous television. I'm so glad it's on Fox.
I need to go back and watch
it. But it's not serving them. It doesn't serve anyone any purpose.
It shows two players really, really care. It's Luciano Leilua and Dewey.
Dewey is the one that is going to come out of... Everyone comes out of a doco looking great. Aaron Finch came out of the cricket doco looking great. Yeah. Champion bloke really cares. Adam Dewey is the same.
Yep.
Adam Dewey. Luke Brooks hasn't had much to say on the documentary, I've noticed.
The highlight for that was when they got beat by South and Reynolds really come up to embrace, and they're mates, him and thing, and he just couldn't console. He was legitimately hurt by the loss, and it was refreshing to see.
Yeah. So North Queensland for you, Sean Ormerod.
Sticking with Joel's theory, how could you back West on the road as favourites?
Not only will I be backing them.
Reserve grade team.
I'll be backing them 13 plus.
Well, take a sec before you bet. Set a deposit limit.
Take a minute. Take an hour. Take a day.
Take a week.
Take however long you need. Yeah. Just have a good think about this game.
Oh, I won't be betting on it.
Oh, there you go.
Now, they don't like it when I say I'm not going to bet on a game because we're a betting podcast. Oh, no, don't.
No, no, that's...
Oh, no, don't be stupid. Do you think I'm going to put money on this game? On one of these two teams?
Back Dewey to score. That's your bet.
Well, I think the Cowboys, they are done. They are absolutely done. No Taumalolo as well. Manly Parramatta. This is at Sunshine Coast. Sunshine Coast seems to be a bit of a points haven, but then again, it's Melbourne doing the points, so I don't know if we read anything into that. $1.24.50, 14.5. Melbourne. Sorry, Parramatta. No Reid Marnie. Jerry Lussick is the number 9. He'll do a serviceable job, but he's no Reid Marnie. And the Moonline Shadow, Michael Oldfield, at number 5. So no Blake Ferguson. Is he injured or is he being dropped? Yeah, it's a song, Michael Oldfield, Moonline Shadow. Manly, 14.5. This is, I can see them winning this by an absolute cricket score. Parramatta's in big trouble. Manly's defence is good enough, and Parramatta, I can see Parramatta not scoring more than 12. So how are Manly not going to get to 30?
Yeah, I completely agree with Dan. Finally, we agree on one. Yeah, you want to be on Manly by a big, big score. Reid Marnie's obviously a huge out. It was pretty shattering to see him so downtrodden after that injury. But they are finished for the year.
Did you like the cameras on him? I thought...
Well, it was on the sidelines.
Yes.
Still, I think so. I think...
Yeah, I know. Now, I've got to be honest here, because I think we copped it. We just take the Channel 9 pictures for those games. But right. In saying that, I think Fox would have done exactly the same thing, because that was the story.
Yeah.
But I think that is the emotion of sport, and I had absolutely no problem with it.
People have got the issues of the change room zooming in on some bloke who's potentially going through something more than just an injury.
Well,
he thinks he's not being watched.
When the most captivating pictures of the year were the Morris brothers when Brett did his knee, and that was a dressing room camera.
Yeah.
And don't tell me every single viewer wasn't captivated by that. So to then say, oh, no, it's invasion of privacy.
There was hypocrisy.
Who
was the other one? There was a Cowboys player a couple of weeks ago. Can't remember.
I've got a solution for these players. Just walk around nude in the dressing room. Yeah. Can't be shown on TV. Yeah. Simple. Have the old fella dangling all over. Joel, I need a tip, Manly Parramatta.
Yeah, Eels. The big. You see the letter from Junior Paulo to the fans?
Oh, mate.
No, I know
like the,
that.
Yeah, that's like the honesty session, mate. Yeah. That's the last straw.
We overreact with everything. Manly are going great. This is a good bet. I think Parramatta at the line is a good bet.
Are you factoring a letter to the fans into your ratings?
No, I'm factoring in some big timber being out. Paseka's out. Sipley's out.
Yeah,
Kepi's
that
out.
Is interesting.
So, and I'll tell you what, I'd be having a bet though.
Campbell Gillard's still not back though.
Far majority of Parramatta's tries, middle left, that's got Olakau'atu written all over it. Try scorer.
By the way, here's a concerning stat. Parramatta scored 4 tries in 3 weeks, 3 of them off kicks. They can't construct the try. Yeah. 30% of all their tries off kicks. So we should have been awake to their lack of attack a while ago. Warriors Canterbury, Sunday 2 o'clock, and this is what Sunday 2 o'clock football was designed for. Warriors, very warm favourites, $1.35, Canterbury $3.25. Minus 8.5. That's too many. Canterbury, Ryan James on loan, Corey Horsburgh on loan. It's past August 1. I don't get how this works, but good luck to the Dogs.
It's because of the bubble. It's to give players a game. That's what they're doing.
Fine. Jackson Fry will be in the front row for New Zealand. That would be Mitchell Fry's
brother. Did you see the photo of Corey Horsburgh? Not the fittest he's ever.
Oh, no. He's the kind of bloke won't worry him.
Now, who did
you
think?
Get out there and tear.
Now, Buzz wrote someone had put on 5 kilos in the bubble by just spending too much time at the buffet. I have a theory on who it is, but it's a total guess.
Which club?
Manly.
Oh.
He said, which young star player?
Surely. Who's had that?
I think Schuster's put on a couple.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's put on a couple.
Okay.
Horsburgh will care when there's 3 6 again calls in a row, and he's got to try. He's got to try and get back.
No, it's good. They've got rid of the volatile Jack Hetherington is out, so in comes the volatile Corey Horsburgh.
His reputation got him binned on the weekend. Would you agree, Hetherington?
No, you can't hit a bloke over the
internet. Well, we've seen a lot of blokes get whacked around the chops in the last month that haven't been sin binned. Anyway,
so who have we gone?
Are you asking for a tip? I've got no idea in this game. So the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Dallin Mutenny's Lesniak is a huge out. So bringing the ball forward in the pass.
Excuse me.
No, from back of the field.
He doesn't play for Canterbury anymore, Sean.
Dallin.
He can't actually be given a rap. Dallin, no Canterbury player can be given any positive praise.
So I reckon Canterbury will win off the stick, so Bulldogs for me.
Oh, you know what? I almost think the same. I certainly think them 8.5.
Total looks a little low off this. And I know the Bulldogs haven't been able to score, but fair dinkum, if they're not tossing this around... Mm. It's a 150 game or something. Not sure the Warriors are really bang up for defence these days, although they kept it low scoring last week. Surely this goes over 50 and a half.
Now, they've stuck with Biondiodo and Avarillo. Now, I know Biondiodo came through as a halfback. I said last week he's a hooker. Well, he's an energy player. We haven't seen evidence that in first grade he can be an organiser. I still have question marks there. I like Matt Dury. I don't know why he doesn't. And why is Jackson Torpenny not getting any time? So maybe there's deficiencies there that we can't see. But anyway, we get to the last game. Cronulla, Newcastle. Cronulla might have the wobbles here. $275.45. They might be just about ready to implode, the Sharks. But they might not. You never. They're one of the hard teams to catch.
Yep.
Every time you think they're dead, they stun you. And every time you think they're going to smash it. I need them to win two of their last four for betting purposes.
Total for the year.
Mm.
Okay. I'm on the Knights. Knights in a gallop.
This is what's scary. Tigers are going to get me. I'm going to get my Tigers over up before I get Cronulla. How bad's that on Cronulla?
Oh, no.
But anyway, Newcastle -6.5.
Andrew John's been very critical publicly about the Knights' attack this week. I reckon we'll see a big change, and I reckon they'll respond. 13 plus the Knights.
Okay, just before you say, Sean. It was pathetic what they dished up against Brisbane, but are we willing to forgive because it was a four-day turnaround?
I was just going to say, I don't think I put enough weight on that quick turnaround because I was very keen on them last week, and they got backed out the gate. They were 9.5 out to 13.5 or something, and somehow didn't cover, but they were winning by 20.
But how often, when they're in the opposition 20, Jacob Saifidi hits it up, Daniel Saifidi hits it up. Now let's have...
Brayley's a big in.
Yeah, I think Newcastle here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. I think the Sharks could be completely done for as well. I skipped over it before, but just on the Raiders players that have been loaned to the Bulldogs, have you heard that there's a theory that our friend, the designer of YoungQuest, the NRL model, brought up, that apparently the Bulldogs play Newcastle next week, who are Canberra's biggest enemy as far as age position is concerned.
Yes.
That Ricky's doing
beautiful stuff.
That Ricky's giving...
That's beautiful stuff.
Ricky's giving the team that's playing the
What's
Knights a little leg up by lending players out to him.
Hey,
hang on.
No, listen. Dan, this is beautiful stuff. So Knights...
Ricky is helping Canterbury
try and
beat
the Knights.
Newcastle. Oh, that's genius.
Mm. Yeah.
That's genius.
Didn't I explain myself
No,
at
I'm
all?
Thinking, hang on, are they going to throw the game? And I think, no, hang on. No, he wants him to beat Newcastle. Yeah,
that is genius, isn't it? Your players.
Not sure. Ryan James and Corey Horsburgh.
No, but it helps.
You are unbelievable. What, you don't think? You think Ryan James is less than Jack Hetherington? I'll give you a tip. Ryan James will contribute more than Jack Hetherington does in a full game. He will in half a game.
That's what we need to see in this competition, right? Is say Canberra in that same realm of playing someone way down the ladder, and all of a sudden Jack Whiten's on loan for Canterbury.
This is why this system is a joke. This is why this loan system is a joke.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
That's it. All right, there are our tips. Now let's do best bets. All right, Joel Kane, you can kick us off.
Oh, he's two from two. He's been in the back row for the Warriors, and this is really where he should be playing because he can't pass. He scored three tries in two games. You and Aiken. Any time try scorer.
All right.
He'll score against the Dogs.
Well, he won't be good odds, will he? Against the Dogs? He'd be $3 or something.
He'll score against the Canterbury Raiders. Who have you got, Sean?
I don't actually
$2.37, I think he is.
I don't have one actually written down. I forgot about the best bet. But I was having a look at Parramatta, where they do concede tries. And the first half of the year is making their for and against record, certainly their defence, hold up. Mm. In the last month, it's been very poor. And it's that right edge is also poor. I know you mentioned the left as well, but they're pretty bad all over the park. Give me Ruben Garrick, two or more. I think Manly are going to put up a score here. And I think that's their most susceptible edge.
Mm. What about Ruben Garrick has 17 tries for Manly and he's only third on their list.
Oh, that's
Turbo's 18, Saab is 19. So Manly have got three of the top five try scorers. Here's a record. I'm going to bring this up on Saturday. Garrick is only 17 points from a Manly club record. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Massive.
So when you think the Wombat,
yep.
Matt Ridge. Yep. Matt Ridge was the last player for Manly to be top try scorer in the competition. Top point scorer, 1995. Okay. Hasn't been a Manly player since.
There's an asterisk there.
Why?
There's been a Northern Eagle since.
Yeah, that's not an asterisk. That's a different club.
Ben Walker.
I don't care. That's a different club. That is a different club.
Righto.
I'm not going to disrespect North Sydney people the way you just did.
Okay.
So, I went for a value here. Newcastle, can you get the damn ball to Bradman Best, please?
Yeah.
Please?
That was part of Joey's.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I might have him for a double again against Cronulla. But my best bet is a Saturday triple. Because I think all these lines are off. Gold Coast, West Tigers, Manly. Have a small amount. Get about, what is that? About
$6.80.
$6.90. Enjoy. Gamble responsibly. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the value bets in the Churchill. I'm not going to say what they are because I want to get on. Because every time we put up big odd things here, by the time I get to it, the odds come. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, righto. We've got to go, boys.
Yeah, Brian Tuttle, $51.
No. He's on the same line, though, isn't he?
Yes.
He's on the same line. That's how you knew Tuttle.
If you're I tell you what, you're going to make up my bet. If my odds go in on James Fisher Harris,
please.
You are going to make up the bet. That's it. Nice to be with you guys again.
Absolutely. Good to be back. The secret meeting location is just about to implode, boys, so we've got to get out of here. Yeah. But
there's Fletch. Hello, Fletch.
For all the punters out there.
Jimmy Smith walking
past. Vossie, take a sec before you bet. Set a deposit limit, as I have done, regardless of the bookmaker which you use. I've done it for many, many years.
They're good ads, those.
But they are.
I tell you what, they are better ads than anything like the government can come up with about that bloke saying, looking at the stupid tie from 2008 at Randwick, the Randwick Racecourse Museum, and then going, not as bad a day. That wasn't the worst part of my day.
Yeah.
That's a great ad.
It is.
So, it's hard to do because we're known for being fun and we take the piss, but it's obviously a very serious message and they're very
100%.
And we're all very serious about it. So I think they're
nailed
it.
Boys, Hutchie is on his way now. Let's get out of here. Gamble responsibly, folks. Have a great week.